This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, why more young Americans are living with their parents instead of being out on their own. But first, more workers delaying retirement means today's companies are faced with the challenge of managing employees across several different generations. From baby boomers to members of Generation Z, each with its own point of view. Joining us to discuss the best ways to manage generational issues that can arise in the workplace are Robin Throckmorton, president of Strategic HR and co-author of Bridging the Generation Gap, and founder and CEO of Rainmaker Thinking, Bruce Tulgan. His latest book is Not Everyone Gets a Trophy, How to Manage the Millennials. So how are generational issues handled where you work? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bruce and Robin, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for including us.
Bruce, start us off by telling us how dramatic this generational shift is and why it's so important for companies to get it on their radar and to keep up with this.
Well, we've been tracking generational change in the workplace for 23 years now, and there is a great generational shift underway in the workforce. It's a shift in numbers, right? So the baby boomers are retiring in droves now. By 2020, less than 20% of the workforce will be made up of baby boomers. And by 2020, 24% of the workforce will be made up of those born 1990 to 2000. What we call second wave millennials. So if you just look at the numbers, that shift, and that's just in North America and the West, you know, in other parts of the world where the population is much younger, the rising youth tide is even greater. But as the baby boomers start to leave the workforce, especially the older baby boomers and the second wave millennials are flooding in, this also coincides with a huge shift in norms and values and attitudes and expectations about work. And so there are big strategic issues, but there are also day-to-day communication challenges.
Is this something, Bruce, where if you're a company and you don't keep up with it, you're doing so at your own peril?
Well, I think you've got to attract the best talent, and you've got to get the best work out of people, and you want to keep the best people longer. So if you don't tune into this, you have a harder time attracting new young talent. You have a harder time getting them on board and up to speed. You have a harder time driving their performance. And the real problem is that as soon as you get them up to speed, if you're not careful, you're in danger of losing them. And then your investment goes right out the door.
We've even seen
that's the problem.
I would say we've seen a lot of clients that won't hire them because of that, but they're missing out on that huge piece that individual can bring to the workforce. They need a mix. They can't have a whole workforce of baby boomers and Gen Xers. They've got to have a mix with that younger generation.
So, Robin, I have a hard time keeping all the generations straight. We're at a point where workplaces are dealing with five different generations. So we start with what? The baby boomers are the first.
It depends how far back you want to go. So you do have radio babies in there, and they'd be 72 to 87 years
okay.
old in that
wow.
range. So if you have somebody that age working, and you could.
So six generations.
Then. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a tiny one. That one's smaller. And then Bruce breaks down your baby boomers into the older and younger, which is good because it's a long segment. So he's got the older baby boomers time, the first wave he mentioned to you, the 1946 to 54. And then the young baby boomers, they're 1955 to 64.
Okay.
And then you jump into the Gen Xers, 1965 to 1976, 77. And then you get into all the ones we keep all talking about, the Gen Y, those are that around 1977, 78 to about 89 or 90. And then the Gen Zs that are coming right behind them that are they're in the workplace, 1991, 1990 to I think Bruce, you cut it off at 99. Is that where you're seeing the break in that generation?
Yeah, I mean, 99, 2000. It's, you know, the thing about these definitions is they're always a work in progress until they get cemented. But the typical definition of the millennials, the big definition is those born 1978 to 2000. So we split that into two groups because otherwise you have 17-year-olds in the same generation as 38-year-olds, and that doesn't seem right.
When we did our research, Linda and I, we found that big difference. It sounds like the both of us are on the same page that, you know, a 26-year-old is not the same as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what about the differences in attitudes about work? I guess each one of these groups views work differently.
It depends on what you're saying, Mark, because work ethic's a lot of times what comes in there, and it's a lot more the definition of work, mm-hmm. and the younger ones are not defined by work. Work's just an ends to a mean, and you might see some of the older generations that work is who they are and what they do, so that's a much bigger part of their life. So their work ethic is you got to be there, you got to be seen, you got to stay around, that type of thing, to be able to show that you're doing work. So lots of clash there versus someone who's, I'm just there to get my job done.
And I guess the millennials, too, are looking for more life balance. Would that be true?
Life balance is probably a good way to describe it, yeah.
Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, the way we look at it is, or the way I try to describe it to people is, you know, in older, more experienced people, the workplace of the past, the older generations, they tended to wrap their life around the kind of career they wanted to have. Millennials, they want to create a career they can wrap around the kind of life they want to have.
So Robin and I were talking about a specific example earlier, the idea that do you like face-to-face communication? Do you like email? Do you like texts? And I guess each generation is going to have a different viewpoint of how you communicate.
It's a lot to do with what they grew up with that influences us the most. But then we get to stereotyping and forget those generations probably could do other types of communication. But, for example, we've seen the baby boomers, both the younger and the older, really like that face-to-face or team environment for communications. Doesn't mean they can't do email or texting, but that's just their preference. Generation X tends to be very focused on email. They're the first ones that push that balance of work life. So I can email you at 9 o'clock at night, and I don't have to be at work, but I'm working. And then these younger ones are looking at a lot of the texting as being their preference. We actually have seen that Gen Z generation saying they prefer face-to-face or texting, which is kind of enlightening to see that change, that face-to-face is starting to come back.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, what are a couple of the biggest differences in the generational attitudes that cause the most problems at work?
Well, look, you know, from a strategic standpoint, the biggest issue is young people come in, they soak up the training investment, they get all kinds of development investment in them, and then they take that and leave. So that's the biggest strategic issue that we're helping our clients with. How do you drive performance and retain the best young people longer? In terms of the day-to-day tactics, I think what most older, more experienced people say is the younger people are more high maintenance, that they expect a lot more a lot sooner, that they're not willing to pay their dues, climb the ladder, keep their head down, keep their mouth shut, and wait for the system to take care of them, that they're more likely to come in and say, you know, I don't want to work on Thursdays, and can I bring my dog to work, even though they've only been there for a few weeks. And what younger people tell us is that a lot of the older, more experienced people seem to not tune into their desire to get on board and up to speed quickly, to hit the ground running, and to be able to add value in a way that doesn't require them to just wait for the annual performance evaluation, but rather to get more granular day-to-day feedback. And that's what younger people often tell us.
I was telling Mark before we started that I've been in programs where those older generations you're describing want us to come in and tell them how to make those younger generations be like them. They aren't willing to accept those differences that you're describing.
So they're saying, how do we make them become like us? That to me doesn't sound like a...
It's not very strategic at all.
No, it doesn't sound like it's going to work too well.
And Bruce, have you heard any of the statistics recently? I'd always heard those younger two generations, their average tenure is about 18 months. But when I push it, I can never hear what's the average tenure for the older ones. I've heard 24 months for all employees, but that doesn't seem like a huge difference. But that's where I often see that younger generation, the manager saying, well, I'm not going to hire them if they're going to be that short time here. But you were saying if they do it right, that duration is going to be longer.
Yeah, my view is that it is not impossible to retain young people longer, but it has to be done systematically, and you can't take it for granted. It's certainly the case that average 10 years of employment go down the younger the person. But there are a number of reasons for that. One is the average 10 years of employment are much longer for older employees because they've had much more time to work. So those statistics are a little bit hard to get your mind around because it's a little bit like apples and oranges. But there's no question that the default presumption for older, more experienced people is they get a job. The goal is to stay there for a long time. And most older, more experienced people will tell you that if they could have their druthers, they would stay with one job. The reasons why people leave are varied, but it's certainly the case that younger people, they go into a job with a much lower expectation that it will be long-term. So the biggest difference is the expectation on the way in the door. And then it is certainly the case that the younger the person, the shorter the tenure of employment.
Bruce, which generation was the first that came into the workforce with no expectation of staying with the same company for 20 years or more?
Well, I think it was a gradual process. So by the time we started doing this research, which was in 1993, it was already the case that globalization and technology had reached a point where the world was becoming highly interconnected, rapidly changing, fiercely competitive, knowledge-driven. It was already the case that business leaders were trying to loosen up the downtime, the waste, the inefficiency. So they were downsizing, restructuring, re-engineering. These things were already happening in the late 80s and early 90s. But it felt like an exception. You know, people still use the term layoff. So I think what happened over the course of the 90s, even as the economy was booming, downsizing, restructuring, and reengineering became a constant. And by the early 2000s, it was clear that it was not going away. I think typically Generation X, we were the generation that came into the workplace in the late 80s and early 90s when those first waves of downsizing, restructuring, and reengineering were hitting the workplace like a freight train.
We will continue our conversation about managing generational issues at work, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss ways to manage generational issues that can arise in the workplace are Robin Throckmorton, president of Strategic HR and co-author of Bridging the Generation Gap, and founder and CEO of Rainmaker Thinking, Bruce Tulgan. His latest book is Not Everyone Gets a Trophy, How to Manage the Millennials. What's been your experience with generational issues where you work? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk to Tom in Anderson Township. Hi, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Yes, good afternoon.
Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm 70 years old. I'm retired. And before I retired, I had taken a retirement buyout package. And I went to work for another company for about 10 years. And then I went to look for another job. And I ran into interviewers, and this happened to me twice, where the interviewer was considerably younger than I. And both of them not... It's the same way that they basically asked me, why in the world did you spend 30 years at one company? And the presumption was that nobody that is ambitious stays at one company for so long. I talked to my younger nephews and their children, and they get the same, you know, they know that they need to move around to advance.
I was going to mention earlier, Mark, when we were talking about that, a lot of this builds from what we experience. So, like, as a Gen Xer, and Bruce was talking earlier about all the changes with the downsizing and right-sizing, we said we would never be like our parents, that we were going to focus on our work-life balance and not on our work. So you probably started seeing some of that shift then. And then we raised the kids that are interviewing you, telling them, don't stay with the same job. You know, there's no golden handcuffs or parachutes or anything in there. So what you're describing is very true. They've kind of been raised with who stays at a job for 30 years.
Yeah.
And Bruce,
thank you for your feedback. I'm going to drop the call right now.
Okay. Thank you. And Bruce, what's your perspective on this?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, look, the other side of the equation is when older, more experienced people are interviewing second-wave millennials, and they're saying, you know, here's where you'll be in 5 years, here's where you'll be in 10 years, here's where you'll be in 15 years. And, you know, the young people are thinking, you know, oh, silly grown-up, you don't understand how things work. The world is so uncertain. We don't know where we're going to be in 5 years. So that's the other side of the table when it's the young person interviewing for the job. But your caller makes a really interesting point, which is still 1% of the workforce in North America is made up of those born before 1946. Those born 1946 to 1954 are still about 12% of the workforce. So there are a lot of grown-ups left in the workforce, and many of them would have built their career based on a more traditional model. Pay your dues, climb the ladder, do as you're told, keep your head down, pay your dues, climb the ladder, and hope for the system to take care of you. And so for a lot of those folks who are still in the workforce, it feels like the rug's being pulled out from under them.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And let's talk to Tom in Northern Kentucky. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
All right. Well, my work experience started in the early 80s, graduated from college. And I have to tell you that the downsizing began long before the late 80s, early 90s. We were at the tail end of a very bad recession at that time, not quite like what we just had. But I just took the first crummy job I could come along with you know, no intent of keeping it. But my ultimate hope had been to get that for
And Tom, your signal's breaking up there, but I guess that where you're headed with this is that you kind of feel like your employment life's been dictated by finances and perhaps by the recessions that we've had, and how, you know.
That's not what the younger generations are.
Yeah.
I mean, if they lost their job or decided they wanted to do something different, they might quit and move back in with mom and dad until they can get, you know, find that job that's perfect for them. And we've let them do it. So it's an entitlement we've given them.
Mm-hmm. Again, 513-419-7100. Mike and Mason joins us. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Just had a short comment. I guess I'm an older millennial. I'm 30 and just kind of wanted to share this. But my uncle had worked a better part of his career, about 15 years, at a Fortune 500 company and was recently let go and replaced by, you know, two recent college graduates. And he has kids in college and, you know, still a lot of expenses. But I just think a lot of people from my generation, you know, have seen that and said, you know, as much as I can help it, I don't want that happening to me. So I think, you know, a lot of companies haven't been loyal to their employees, not necessarily the other way around. But just wanted to share that comment and take your response off air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that's even a lot of the sentiments we saw with the Gen Xers. That's why you said, saw them becoming very independent. I'm not going to wait for the company to plan my career. I'm going to be loyal to my career. So you're exactly right. It's a lot of the things that have happened in the workplace that have caused some of the younger generations to observe that. And that's kind of built them to be the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think that's, look, business leaders, it was their idea. downsizing, restructuring, and reengineering. They're the ones who decided that organizations had to be lean and flexible in order to operate in this fiercely competitive environment, in order to move resources out of cooling off market segments and move them into heating up market segments, you know, make and unmake new business combinations, hire people more quickly, fire people more quickly. So it's the business leaders who are driving the change. It's just that the younger the person, the more they now take this new environment for granted. And to the previous caller's point that there was downsizing before the late 80s, of course there was. There have always been ups and downs in the economy. The labor market is cyclical. It's by the late 80s and early 90s that downsizing, restructuring, and reengineering became a basic business strategy for employers of all shapes and sizes trying to be lean and flexible. And that's really what killed the myth of job security. I mean, job security was a post-war myth, and some people had more job security, some people had less. It's when the myth of job security died that employees started to change their mindset. And because of those accidents of history, that's why it has a generational flavor to it.
Mark in Anderson Township joins us. Hi, Mark. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi. I'm an early boomer, and in 1980 I went to work for a very old company that had four or five generations in it, and there was a lot of turmoil pretty much around us boomers who were joining the company. And the HR department put together around a film called You Are What You Were When, whose premise was that by the time you're 10 years old, your worldview is more formed. And so they were trying to get everybody of the different generations to consider what the influences were of sort of each 10-year cohort. And I was wondering if your guests had ever heard of that film.
Oh, yeah, that's Morris Massey. You Are What Was When You Were When.
That's it.
Yeah, You Are What Was When You Were When. And Morris Massey was an early generational theorist. And it's why I always tell people that generational difference, it's really about accidents of history. So everybody is young and then gets older, right? That happens to everybody. Everybody goes through these life stages where you're a young adult and you have your first job and then you start to have more responsibilities and you have the second stage of your career. But what makes generational difference is these accidents of history.
And if you look at it, the generations, just kind of run through them, you can tell it's those historical events that took place at certain ages in their lives, especially younger than maybe entering the workplace. And then think about technology as you look through the generations, starting with the older baby boomers all the way up to the Gen Zs. You know, we've seen everything over those years. I don't even know if anybody carries pagers anymore.
What's a pager? Wow, I had forgotten about pagers.
I think when I entered the workplace, that's you are
that
lucky if you got a pager.
Yeah, that was the thing.
But those technologies are the fax machines that were a film. I mean, some of those are the things that really changed because that's what you were used to growing up. Like you mentioned earlier, Mark, about communications.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody my age has a preference for face-to-face. And as you get younger, you're in tune with email or you're too in tune with texting and other things. Let's talk to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You know what, it's kind of interesting. I worked as an HR manager for some large corporations, Hewlett Packard, Fifth Third Bank, a couple of really, really big ones. And the few things that that I've learned from doing that, number one, if you think your job is secure, you are sadly mistaken. I don't care what level of an organization you're at. Because I can't tell you the number of times I walked around knowing who was not going to be on an org chart in about a month. And they all thought they were going to be. So it's kind of a horrible thing when that happens to someone. But the other thing is, just on the off chance that something like that is going to happen, you have to be prepared for it and look at it from the standpoint of, what is my exit strategy before you even sit down for the first day in your new job, if you will? if you don't have an exit strategy or you don't have a plan for your own career, a lifelong career, somebody else has one, and you're automatically a part of theirs if you don't have your own. So I would always tell people, whatever you're going to do corporate-wise, that's fantastic. Put your whole self into it, but always have an exit strategy. I don't care what level of the organization you're entering in.
What generation are you?
Well, I'm 51 years old, so born in 65 and graduated from grad school in 91. So I'm like right on the cusp of a few different ones, I guess.
Younger boomer, maybe?
He's right on that edge of young baby boomer, older Gen X.
Yeah.
Which means you're good because you can.
The first year of Generation X.
You can put your toe in both generations a little bit and relate to them both. What you describe, we hear a lot from Gen Xers. That's why I was curious what generation you were in.
And who do you think is more, you know, he's talking about uncertainty. And if you think your job is secure, you're sadly mistaken. Who do you think is more in tune with that? Is it the millennials that are more in tune with maybe that idea than the boomers and the older generations?
That's a good question. I would probably say you'll see that Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z maybe, but I think that baby boomers are experiencing it. So they know it's true. Whereas if you went back 10, 15 years ago, no, they wouldn't. But the Gen Xers might have.
Yeah, I would say that the baby boomers, there's still plenty of baby boomers who are surprised by the uncertainty that keeps presenting itself to them. The youngest, least experienced people take that kind of uncertainty for granted. And even without a whole lot of context and experience, that's their starting point assumption. To your caller's point, what we always advise people in our career seminars is focus on self-building career security. Build up your own repertoire of marketable skills. Build up your repertoire of not just technical skills, but broad transferable skills. Build relationships with decision makers who can help you. Collect proof of your ability to add value. Collect lots of tangible results with your name on it. And make sure that work-life balance is not just about having some time off to have fun. It's about making sure you don't burn out. It's about making sure you stay strong and healthy and take care of yourself and take care of your family so that you have another source of security, which is your wellness.
So, Bruce and Robin, what would be the first thing you'd recommend to a company that's having problems with generational issues? What would be the first step you would tell them to take to correct that?
I can go first, Bruce. I would probably say the first thing is helping them understand the different generations. A lot of times there's a lot of stereotypes and assumptions out there, and that's what they think are the differences in the generations. So the buzzword might get them going, oh, here we go. But if you can help them understand how each generation got the way they are and how they interact in the workplace, and simple things like we were talking about communication, conflict, how does each generation approach or handle those types of things so there can be some collaboration or meeting in the middle.
And be prepared to meet in the middle. They're not going to change and become you.
Right.
Right. Okay, Bruce?
Yeah, well, we typically will do a strategic evaluation and a tactical evaluation. So the strategic evaluation is the human capital picture, their recruiting process, their onboarding and up-to-speed process, their performance management system, their compensation system, their retention process, knowledge transfer. How do they handle the big picture strategic side of it? And then on a day-to-day basis, like any diversity issue, I agree that the starting point is to make sure people have a better understanding of where everyone's coming from, where everyone's going. And then our approach is to try to get everyone focused on the common denominator, which is the work that needs to get done. And when there are differences in style, preference, the solution should always be what is the strategy that gets the most work done, the best, the fastest, keeps everybody on the same page, keeps everybody moving forward and contributing to the mission. So that's our day-to-day tactical approach.
And Bruce, tell us a little bit about the event that you have coming up. I believe it's January 24th. You and Robin are involved in this?
That's right. I'll be there at the Chamber of Commerce doing a program in the morning for, it's an open invitation. So I think we got a pretty big crowd coming. Rob might know, be able to give the details of where and when.
But this is the Claremont Chamber of Commerce is putting this on?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, if you go to the Claremont Chamber of Commerce website, you can get signed up for it. I think there's still a few seats left. I wouldn't wait. And Bruce will be there for, I think it's about 2 hours, sharing with us the great generational shift and how to effectively manage these millennial generations and all the generations. So it should be a great program. I'd encourage the companies you've been describing, Mark, and the callers that have called in. It's going to be a wonderful program. Bruce is the king of the show. I'm just going to be emceeing and learning a lot from him because he's amazing when it comes to this area. So it'll be great to be there with him.
Well, Bruce,
that's very kind of you. We're going to share our research. I'll do my best, I promise.
And this is, what did you say, Bruce, 30 years of research on this?
23, going on 24 years we've been doing this research.
Well, Bruce and Robin, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks to you. Thanks for having us.
Definitely. It's a topic we all need to hear.
Robin Throckmorton, president of Strategic HR and co-author of Bridging the Generation Gap, and the founder and CEO of Rainmaker Thinking, Bruce Tulgan. His latest book is Not Everyone Gets a Trophy, How to Manage the Millennials. Coming up, why more young people are living with their parents and delaying marriage. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.